Hey, everybody, we've got an amazing show for you today. Rachel is back joining me to discuss recent reports about Samsung trying to renegotiate its default search deal with Google and maybe move to Bing.
So we also discuss how Google can still win the AI race and beat OpenAI and Microsoft. And then we cover some craziness in the AI-generated voice space.
Yes, there is a fake Drake and the Weeknd song that went mega viral. It's been taken down since, but I was fooled by it.
We're going to play a new game show where Jason is going to guess the real Kanye song. And then the producers trained a model of Jason and a very special guest joined him.
I was very surprised that we were able to lock in this AI guest. And so this could be very big. Briefly, I'm going to talk about my feelings about Brian Armstrong saying he might move Coinbase out of the United States. It's going to be a great show.
Stick with us.
This Week in Startups is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. A business is only as strong as its people, and every hire matters. Post your first job for free at linkedin.com/twist. Merge. Let your developers get back to their core product. Merge is a single API to add hundreds of integrations to your app. Integrate up to 3 customers for free today at merge.dev/twist. And Mercury, where innovation meets peace of mind. Now more than ever, startups need a safe place to put their cash. Mercury offers a simple way to manage bank risk and protect every dollar with up to $5 million in FDIC insurance and a money market fund. Visit mercury.com to apply in minutes.
Hey, everybody. It's Tuesday. A lot of news has backed up. I'm on the road right now. I was at Starbase yesterday for the launch, which got scrubbed. But I'll be there on Thursday, I think. I might record all in from Starbase, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we have a successful launch on Thursday. And so if you want to watch all that, go to YouTube or Twitter and follow SpaceX. But exciting times right now, and I thought, God, so much news is backed up. I'd have Rachel back on the program to tee it up for us and to get started. How are you doing, Rachel?
I'm doing good. And like before we start, I have to say, you are already doing something that's kind of, I don't know if this is like newsworthy, but it's definitely trendy right now. And that's blurring your background. The more meetings I've been on, the more background blurs have been happening. I think it's like the office. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The issue for me now is when I'm on the road and I'm traveling like 3 different cities this week, sometimes there's no good background. You know, like, so if you get a nice hotel room, you know, there's a desk, there's a chair, you can kind of frame it, but nobody wants to see my hotel bedroom or whatever, where I'm staying. And so I've been going blurred background. But when I'm in Tahoe, hey, it's nice to see the skiers going by. It's a great room at my home studio. It's all good. So I think you've been following this. There's just a lot of news around generative AI and the reaction to it. So let's get started there.
Yeah. So there is some big news in the search space. Google is reportedly in panic mode and working on an entirely new search engine after discovering that Samsung is considering switching to Bing as its default search engine on all of its devices. So on Monday, the New York Times reported that last month, Google learned Samsung was considering replacing its search engine with Bing as the default search on all devices. And according to New York Times sources, Google's deal with Samsung is worth around $3 billion in revenue per year for Google due to traffic. And this is similar to the deal that they had with Apple. In 2021, Google reportedly paid Apple around $15 billion to maintain its status as the default search engine on all Apple devices. And before that, it was paying Apple around $10 billion a year. So, Jason, can you explain a little bit about that, like smartphone contracts, especially with Apple?
Sure. So, when you own the smartphone, you get to set the defaults on the phone. Samsung is one of the great handset manufacturers in the world, along with Apple. When they set search up in Safari or whatever browser they use on the Samsung devices, the default search will result in a large number of searches. Just think, how many people do you think go into the settings and switch their search engine? If it's Google, that's the leading one. You're not going to switch it out. So years ago, people started realizing, hey, this is worth some money. So Apple, Samsung, and others bid it out. And they said, who would like this search revenue? So it gives you a base of users. Now, what's important about this is only 2% of Google's search monopoly. If, you know, and it really is a monopoly. People like to pretend that Google doesn't have a search monopoly. They do. They have 70, 80, 90% of the searches in different regions around the world. Now, of the pie of the overall advertising business, they have much less because you have other players, right? Amazon has a new business. Netflix added ads. You have Bing, of course. You have Uber now has an ad network that they think is going to do $1 billion this year or maybe next year. So there are other pieces of the pie. LinkedIn has been crushing it, obviously, with their ad program. But for search, it's critically important to get these default searches for two reasons. One, when you're going to buy ads, it basically means you're going to spend more attention as an ad buyer on the Google Ad Network because you have larger reach. More reach equals more investment from the advertisers in learning how to use that, setting up the keywords, et cetera. So it makes it kind of a, it's kind of a blocker strategy. Now, if they were to lose the Samsung one, it wouldn't be like a big deal. If they lost the Apple one, that would be a big deal. And there were very credible rumors. And I have, let's just say, I don't want to say inside information because I don't want bells to go off, but I have a whisper network. Apple was considering maybe going into the search business at some point. And if you look at their Spotlight search, right, you do a search on your iPhone, it'll tell you if you, you know, here's the apps on your phone, maybe here's it, looking deep into Yelp, some results, and then it will tell you to search the web. This is a small percentage. And what's really happening here is Samsung wants a better price out of Google. And they're doing what any good, owner of traffic and users will do is they're stirring the pot, trying to get Google to pay more money. And so maybe Bing and Microsoft will overpay for this, but this is just great for Samsung because it's free money. They get 100% of this, goes right to the bottom line. This is not the consequential contract. The consequential contract is iPhones, again, for not just their reach, but because those are the well-heeled customers. That's the customers with more discretionary spending. Those are the ones who are driving Teslas, Mercedes, going on fancier trips. And let's face it, Android phones are a third of the price, a quarter of the price. They may be, their clicks are not as expensive. So it's this is just Samsung having a great negotiator who leaked this information to the New York Times.
Kind of like what you said with Apple users kind of just being like super valuable. Apple sold 232 million iPhones in its fiscal 2022 year, and iPhone sales alone generated around $205 billion in revenue last year. Based on that data, we can see that Samsung consumers spent an average of around $357 per new phone. This is a rough estimate, while Apple users spent around $883 per new phone. Again, that's like a rough estimate, but the difference between that is like 2.5 times more on new iPhones as Apple users.
Yeah. How much is a Toyota Prius if you were to buy a used one?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
10 or 20K.
That's crazy.
How much is a Tesla Model Y? 50 or 60? For a 45, I think, to 65K, depending on how big the battery is. So, you know, the same car will get you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And one of them will be more delightful to use every day. And there is a point in time where people, you know, you could buy a pair of Levi's jeans for 30 or 40 bucks, Old Navy for 20, Uniqlo for 20, or you can go buy, I think I buy Lucky Brand and they cost me $1.50. And then I have friends who buy $400 jeans and I'm like, okay, whatever. It's so cheap compared to the value you get out of a smartphone. Mm-hmm. You keep your phone for what, 3 years, 2 years? What's your average, would you say?
I've had the same phone for like 5 now, but they kind of stopped working at around 3. Like I have a pretty slow phone, but I hate getting new phones. Like I hate getting new phones. Like I don't like because getting, you have to pay for the new phone case and you have to go and you, it's like always more money than they say it will be. So it's more about like the act of the Apple store. But yeah, I think they slow at three.
Yeah. So this I think is you very much represent the average millennial Gen Z consumer. You could try to get 3, 4, 5 years out of these things. And then I think people maybe who are doing it for business have a little more discretionary income. They might do it every 2 or 3 years. I too now have been skipping a year. I used to just send my assistant back in the day, whatever they sell, buy me the latest version. I would even buy like the interim plus versions and just, but now the time it takes to get a new case and to transfer your data, all that stuff, go to the store, that whatever number of hours to me isn't worth it for the gain in it. But if you take the dollar amount of an iPhone, this is rounded up to 1,000, it's about, if you keep it for 3 years, you're talking about $1 a day. If you keep it for 5 years, maybe you're down to almost 50 cents a day. What other device do you use for 5 hours a day that costs 10 cents an hour to use it, right? And that doesn't even include the resale value. All right, the march to a billion users continues. For my friends at LinkedIn, 875 million people are now using the platform, including me. I'm on it every day, doing updates, finding new employees, and really, there's so many insanely qualified people out there looking for work right now. The stakes are so high for all of our companies. You need to have a bar raiser. Anybody you hire, you want that bar raiser. Somebody's going to bring it, make the organization better. So I want you to do something really simple right now. I want you to get your free first job listing on LinkedIn by going to linkedin.com/twist. Again, your first job is free forever. Why do they give you the free job listing? Because they know you're going to get great candidates and then you're going to be on the hook and you're going to love it. It is the best way to find great talent. You'll get that purple ring when you start hiring on LinkedIn around your profile photo, which just lets your network, where the great, great referrals are going to come from, your friends and friends of friends, you get that purple ring, it stands out. So then here's the plan. You start doing regular updates. You talk about your company, you talk about the topics, you talk about your customers. You know all the great social media hacks. They see the purple hiring ring. You're going to get better candidates faster, better candidates faster, better candidates faster. That's what we all want. You want the great candidates and you want them faster. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free, linkedin.com/twist. That's linkedin.com/twist. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions, of course, apply.
I wouldn't call this a panic. I bet you the Samsung folks said it's a panic, or the Bing folks said it's a panic. Google does not need to panic about this. What Google needs to do is just do what they've been doing. They were on 60 Minutes. They have been thoughtfully releasing updates to their product, and they need to just close the gap between the product velocity of OpenAI and the product velocity of, Google, which has not been fast enough. And the reason they haven't been fast is because they're being thoughtful. When you're the incumbent, you have to really think about what you do. If you're Google's Bard, if it hallucinates and gives you a wrong answer, people are like, what? Google's giving me a wrong answer? Now, if something like ChatGPT hallucinates, giving a bad example, who cares? It's like, this is beta software. It doesn't have the logo on it. So I think this is what Google will do. They'll increase their product velocity. They'll do more press, 60 minutes. You saw them send everybody out. There was a real diverse group of individuals getting on 60 minutes. They're doing the full court press tour. This is all by design to slow the momentum of Sam Altman doing every podcast in the world, Lex Friedman. And then, I don't know if you saw, Sam Altman, he's really enjoying this moment. And it's hard fought for him. You know, he had a failed company looped back when we met each other in the Sequoia days, and we were both Sequoia scouts. Then an incredible run as an investor, and then Y Combinator was the president of. But I mean, I think this is something he's always wanted, is to have this great product and team and moment, and he's taking the most of it. He's tweeted he's going on tour to like 20 cities. So Google's looking at that and going, wow, Sam Altman's going to be on 20 different cities, a 20 city tour. Yeah, it's time for them to get these new projects out there. And they're going to do that. Magi, I saw their new search engine. So maybe we could tee that up for the audience, what Google has said there, because I just saw that in my travels fly by the Twitter stream. And I'm not actually even up to date on it.
Yeah. So via those like anonymous New York Times sources, project is codenamed Magi. And I'm not sure if it's pronounced like Maggie or Magi, like magic, but it's spelled like Magi, like magic without the C.
So I'm going to call it Maggie.
Maggie. Okay. Honestly, that's when I read it through first. I said Maggie, and then producers were
Alexa,
like, wait,
Maggie, Siri.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, keep up with the name. I like it. Okay. So Project Maggie has more than 160 people working on it full time. It's kind of like a startup. New features. And new features are being developed by smaller teams working together in sprint rooms, which also kind of sounds like a startup. And then there's lots of tweaking and iterations that are happening daily. Again, that sounds like a startup. And this new search engine would offer users, quote, a far more personalized experience than the company's current service attempting to anticipate users' need. So we're kind of seeing like that product velocity you were talking about earlier. But before the new search engine launches, Magi will create tools for Google's existing search product.
Yeah, this would be a really good idea for them to delineate the existing product from the beta product. This would give
and what ChatGPT and Bing has, the ability for people to say, you're playing in a sandbox, you're playing with a new thing, here's disclaimer, 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 and just make it really easy for users. It will also create a hype cycle because now, oh, have you tried Maggie or Magic, whatever they do? Just note to people who are branding things. If there's like four different ways to say something, you kind of failed the branding exercise. So it's a terrible name. I would have just gone with Magic. I would have called it the Magic Search Engine or Wow or something, or, you know, it's just something fun and playful. And then eventually they can bring those features back in.
Bing and Wow.
But Bing and Wow. well, actually, it's interesting. AOL owned the domain name WOW.com. And when I was leaving to do Mahalo, I was trying to negotiate with them to give me Wow because I was doing a human powered search engine, famously. Which was kind of like taking the Wikipedia software and making search results that were curated by humans instead of using artificial intelligence. I wanted to use actual human intelligence. And amazing what happens in 15 years. So a lot of lessons there. That's for another episode. But I do think there is something really smart about what they're doing, which is, okay, we'll incorporate features into Google, but we're also going to let this team run fast, hard, and make different features. The personalization is going to be great. And what's going to happen is, what assets do they have that ChatGPT does not have? They have everybody's Gmail. And I believe Gmail, your YouTube subscriptions, and your Google Docs are going to be the foundational elements of why Google, I'd said on All In, they're going to roll, or I should say they could roll ChatGPT if they execute well. So if I was going to say that again, I would say they could roll. And this feels like they want to roll over ChatGPT. How do you do that? I really have been, and you know this because you've seen me like sharing it internally, like I'm trying to get everybody on the team using it. The number one thing I want to do is have ChatGPT-4 over my Gmail, but I don't trust OpenAI with my data. Mm. I don't want them reading my emails and then spitting them back out as answers to other people's questions. But I do trust Google. And so if when I open Maggie, I say, Maggie, can you tell me everybody I emailed with before 2019? And can you give me a top five list by month of who I traded the most emails with, but that aren't part of Launch or Inside or those two organizations? And then give me a list of where they currently work and put it into a table and craft a check-in email for each of them. That either congratulates them on their new position or just says, hey, I was thinking about you from our conversations back in 2018. That would be like an incredible mind-blowing thing. Or, hey, what documents had the most activity for me in 2016, 17, 18, and 19? Show me those documents, bring them up, and then I could start talking to an interface and do that. Or on YouTube, hey, you know I love Mark Knopfler. You know I love Dire Straits. Can you make me an agent that makes me a playlist of only new Mark Knopfler Dire Straits concerts that have been released, and don't play me the ones that I already have in my queue? Mm. These kind of things that they already have access to, it's just going to start them on third base. This idea of anticipating becomes really interesting. So they know that you did a search, like if I did my travel searches here and I was searching for flights, they could just put in the side of my Google or my Gmail in the sidebar of Maggie, hotels in, you know, this city, top restaurants in the city, restaurants you've been to in the city, because they know I've been there. And if I was in Tokyo last year, they could say, hey, are you planning to go to Tokyo next year? So just like it does autocomplete, imagine autocomplete, but for you personal. And then the agent says, here are new restaurants in Tokyo in case you're going next year. So all of those things are going to give them so many things to brainstorm on with this technology that I'm totally here for this dogfight. I am long Google. I'm long Google in this fight. I'm also long Microsoft in this fight.
I think it would be so sick to have like autocomplete with your calendar. So you know how we have Calendly now, like, hey, can you meet at this time? Have like in your email, it autocomplete, hey, why don't we meet at? And then have Google like fill it in. That would be really nice for Gmail.
Or to build on that, imagine it says, hey, these are people you were talking to. You have, you know, the whole afternoon off on Friday. Here are some meeting suggestions. Would you like me to book meetings with any of these 20 people you haven't talked to and do a catch-up phone call?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, well, that's interesting, right? Who did I have the most meetings with 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago in my Gmail? Give me 20 meeting suggestions, people I should catch up with. Because I'm literally doing that now. I'm looking back in my Gmail, and it is a manual process of finding all the limited partners I talked to for Launch 1, 2, 3. And now we're raising Launch Fund 4 and launch.co/4. I think you can learn more about it. And so I'm going backwards, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I met with this endowment. I met with this person. I forgot about that meeting. I just need Google to do that for me. Hey, these were the, when did I last email people from these companies? Were there any other people I emailed, didn't get back to, whatever? Just all that is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is. And also on that, by the way, I created a CRM in Notion like years ago. Having a Notion AI go off of that CRM and tell me, like, I have as one of the columns, like the last time I emailed somebody, have it being able to send me reminders. If anybody from Notion's listening, I would like that.
Closing big enterprise deals, it's not easy. We all know that. The last thing you want to do is slow down your sales team with a lack of integrations. That's table stakes. Everybody expects that your people management tool will work seamlessly with your payroll provider. They expect your CRM to work with accounting software. And just think about yourself. You log into some new business-to-business software. You want to start connecting it to the rest of your stack, but that's going to burn developer hours. That's going to cost a ton of money. What if you could just drop in a little code snippet, zip, 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 and you were able to use Merge's unified API? And then your integrations would take days, not quarters. You're going to unlock new revenue opportunities. You're going to remove blockers from the sales team. So when somebody says, oh, does it work with this? Does it work with that? It's going to work with everything. Hundreds of integrations already to make your customers happy and delighted and remove those blockers from the sales team. Seven different categories. Human resources information systems, application tracking systems, accounting, CRM, ticketing, marketing automation, of course, file storage. This kind of stuff, it's constantly changing. The integrations break. That's not your problem anymore. That's Merge's business. Merge has unlimited integrations waiting for you, and they charge based on how many of your customers use these integrations, which is super fair. So they're going to give you 3 linked accounts for free today. So there's nothing to lose. Merge.dev/twist, merge.dev/twist. Again, 3 linked accounts for free. Merge.dev/twist. Well done, Merge. A lot of my startups are using this product and love it.
In entertainment, speaking of all this AI craziness, AI-generated song featuring Drake and The Weeknd has gone just crazy viral over the past few days. The song is called Heart on My Sleeve, and it was generated and released by a TikTok user named Ghostwriter. And the song gained more than 8.5 million views on TikTok, according to a BBC article. And the song was streamed over 250,000 times on Spotify, which is kind of crazy that it was that it even like got on Spotify. The producers checked out like both platforms for the original songs, but both of the platforms took it down. How it even got on Spotify is like kind of insane that that was able to happen.
You said have been taken off Spotify, have been taken off TikTok. Oh, it that's also interesting. I have some thoughts on that. Okay, let's listen.
Came in with my ex like Selena, the flex, bumping Justin Bieber, the fever.
I like it. I can't tell the difference. Can you tell the difference? If I played that for you, would you know?
I totally can't. And I actually, I didn't hear it from the original creator, but I did hear it. Like everybody's still screen recorded and like are using the audio on TikTok. So I've heard the audio a few times. And I, before I realized it was AI generated, I just thought it was like another catchy like TikTok sound. So I actually had no idea this was like an AI thing at all. And Drake and The Weeknd, by the way, they did not record this song. Like the vocals are entirely AI. Everybody was freaking out and basically like saying if it was real, it would be such a hit. But neither artist responded regarding the new track yet. But Drake recently voiced his concerns over a different song using his AI generated voice that went viral. The rapper posted an Instagram story with the caption, "This is the final straw, AI." So he's not a huge fan, but
he might have been joking.
I don't know. Ice Spice. Maybe. I don't know. Ice Spice is like pretty big right now. Like the girl that was in the, like the woman, she has like a really big TikTok sound from like the song Boy's a Liar. I think it's like part 2. Yeah. And I always hear like Obama and Trump remixes, like how if they were like saying her song. So I think a lot of Ice Spice stuff has been like her lyrics have been used in AI, but I'm not sure if she's said anything.
There's so many different ways this can go. When you do these tests and you think about fairness and fair use, there is an area for parody. So if it is Obama, we know Obama's not doing it. You don't even need to tell anybody that this is a parody. Right? We just know it's a parody. And so under parody law and that exemption from copyright, doing Donald Trump or Obama only using a small portion of the original and not interfering with their ability to make money and to leverage their voice of the future. And if you're making money, these are all kind of the tests for fair use. You can just look up a fair use four-part test on Wikipedia and you can go through it. And so what's super interesting here is with this set, this is in some cases new lyrics or cover songs, new lyrics that are as good and performances that are as good as the original, and they're confusing the user. And in fact, they would be blocking the ability for Drake and The Weeknd to then go do their collaboration. If they were going to do a collaboration, you just ruined it. You just, you know, like, I don't know if they've done collaborations before. If somebody was going to do a cover or a remix, this actually infringes on their ability. It confuses the user. And if they put it on Spotify and TikTok and they gained users, even if they didn't turn on monetization, if you gained users for your account, like let's say this Ghostface person keeps doing it and they get to 10 million followers, those 10 million followers are worth $1, $2, $3 each. So they would have generated $10, $20, $30 million in revenue. And the platforms, YouTube, TikTok, et cetera, have very granular, deep, important relationships with the music industry where they pay them licensing fees. They allow them to take stuff down themselves. They allow them to take the monetization. So if somebody uses a sound clip, they can monetize that video themselves or they can have it taken down. And the music industry does not play games. And so, but this does remind me of sampling. And so in the sampling era, people were attacking the people doing sampling. And there was a really reasonable argument that, well, they were transforming the work and they said they shouldn't have to pay because these are new works. This is transformative, but it was infringing on that person who owned the original sample, especially like Kanye West songs, or we have seen P. Diddy supposedly has had to pay I'm Missing You, the Diddy tribute, $5,000 a day to sing. You are infringing on their ability to do those kind of remixes. And Elton John has a remix now with Dua Lipa, I guess, and other folks. So you can't just take people's work. You have to pay them. And sampling is going to be, I think, the reasonable thing here. If people create these and they get the blessing of Drake, great. I could see artists like Elvis and the estate of Elvis selling a CD every year of Elvis doing, you know, hit songs and having AI do it. And I would be there for it. You know, if you told me you could release a new Dire Straits album every 2 years and it was done based on AI and they made new songs and Mark Knopfler, I could be down with that. Why not? You know, the band's not together anymore. And then for bands that, you know, like people who really aren't around, like Jimi Hendrix, this would be delightful. So there's a big opportunity here. It's going to be messy. I'm here for it. This is incredible.
One of our producers put in, will artists start leasing out models of their own voices to generate extra revenue?
Of course.
I think this is like such a good idea, but I even think it's a better idea for people that aren't even like big musicians yet. So if you ever hear people that are like put out samplings, like people, like I know one of my friends is like a DJ and he's never met this person before, but she put up a bunch of like short snippets of her singing, like samples up on a website, and he was able to buy like those samples. I think it would be really cool for a platform to just like create like an AI version of this so people can start doing this like before they're even big. And I think this whole conversation is going to be pretty ongoing because Universal Music Group, aka UMG, wrote a memo to major streaming services like Apple and Spotify asking them to prevent AI companies from accessing their libraries. UMG wrote, quote, "We will not hesitate to take a step to protect our rights and those of our artists." And interestingly, Drake is a UMG artist and they control most of his catalog. A UMG subsidiary re-signed him for as much as like $400 million last year.
Yeah.
And according to Seeking Alpha, UMG controls 37.5% of the music industry's market share, which means on average, one in every three songs you listen to will earn UMG some revenue. So that's crazy.
And this is all a matter of, you know, who gets paid and how much. And this is just a great new business model. The character Darth Vader, James Earl Jones, famously did the voice. And now he's 91 years old. And in the Obi-Wan series, a company called Respeecher, a Ukraine startup, has now, you know, voices, AI voices Darth Vader. So that, but I think Jones got paid for that, and he gave the rights to clone the voice. And he gave, I don't, you know, who knows what he got paid for it or whatever, but fantastic. You know, if I was, if at the end of my life, This Week in Startups and All In are, you know, these huge franchises, and somebody says, hey, can we use your voice, and your daughters are going to get this residual for the rest of their lives, and their kids will get the residual, I'll be like, heck yes. Yeah, I'm dead. I don't care. Go for it. Monetize the hell out of it. Keep my legacy alive. It does block, which is kind of a bummer. It does block new artists from coming out. So if the Beatles kept releasing albums and John Lennon's estate and Yoko Ono and the Beatles allowed that, well, maybe then Coldplay doesn't get a chance to, you know, or U2 doesn't get a chance to come out. So
Or is it is that just a different artist? Like the person creating the AI, and like, there's got to be like some human element to it, right? Like that, maybe the computer scientists we're going to start calling as an artist. Like David Guetta definitely considers the people using AI. He sees like AI just as like another instrument, like a tool in your toolbox as an artist.
Maybe. I don't know. Because it's getting so good that the AI will be able to ingest, you know, all of Eminem's lyrics, all of Bob Dylan's lyrics, and do a better job than a human of not only producing the voice, but probably producing the lyrics and the guitar sounds. And given the pace at which AI is, and this is what I think people who are like, this AI, you could just unplug it, or the answer's wrong, it's hallucinating. What they don't get is the velocity at which this is moving. We study this as investors, product velocity. The product velocity right now is moving so fast that what were goofy, you know, 5-second clips last year are now full songs with, you know, 8 million views on TikTok. And next year, there'll be whole albums. So, you know, 5 or 6 second clips that you can easily tell are not real, full tracks that you can't tell are not real. And then next year, I think it'll be full albums that, yeah, I would say by this time next year, can we put a little calendar item in here? We'll do, Rachel and I will do a little bet. Rachel, a full album by an artist that's as good as their previous work. Do you think that'll happen in a year, over a year, or under a year? I'm setting the line at 12 months from today. So you know how gambling works?
Well,
you have
will
to pick,
I say,
will it take longer or not? And it doesn't have to be sanctioned. It could be sanctioned or unsanctioned, but a full album under a year. Okay.
I'm under.
I think I said a good line. Nick, producer Nick likes to gamble. Nick, where would you take it? A full album of like an Eminem album, a Bob Dylan album. And just by me putting this bet out here, there's 20 lunatics who listen to this show. We'll go do it. What would you take? The over, the under, a full album, you know, 6, 7, 8 songs by an artist that's as good as their your least favorite album of theirs previously.
If you asked me this question last week, I probably would have said over, but based on listening to that song, which is probably better than any Drake song that's been out for the past couple of years, and then also my experiences this morning with training a couple of other AI models, I'm going way under.
We should jump to those too.
You're playing with AI tools now? I thought you were supposed to be producing this goddamn podcast. Who told you to start fucking around with AI models?
We'll see in a couple of minutes what you think.
Okay. Listen, as a founder, ensuring your cash is safe is priority number one. It's been a bit crazy out there. I don't want to put caps locks on right now, but I will if you need me to. The FDIC $250,000 limit is just not enough for most businesses. So let me tell you about Mercury. Through its partner banks and Sweep network, Mercury customers can access up to $5 million in FDIC insurance. That's 20 times the per bank limit. Sounds a lot safer, doesn't it? Well, these Sweep networks protect your deposits by spreading them across multiple banks, which limits the risk of any single point of failure. And with Mercury Vault, any funds above the FDIC limit can easily be invested in a money market fund, mostly comprised of U.S. government-backed securities. So it's easy to get started with opening an account. You can apply in minutes, and many customers are approved and onboarded in less than 2 hours. Mercury also offers great resources for founders, including my favorite, Mercury Raise. This program connects founders with investors to help them raise funds. Head to mercury.com to join more than 100,000 startups that trust Mercury for banking. And if you're interested in Mercury Raise, applications for both Seed and Series A are open through April 20, right? So you got to get it in there by April 20th. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services are provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust, members FDIC.
All right, let's get to it. Stop teasing the audience. Let's get to it. What do you got for me?
Do the Kanye one first, because the Kanye one's fun.
Okay, so we put together three 10-second samples. Uh-oh. One is a real Kanye West song. One is from a totally new AI-generated song with an AI-generated Kanye voice, so custom lyrics. And the third is Kanye's AI vocals over an existing rap song by a different artist.
And Jason, so you have to pick the real song.
Yeah, you have to guess. Sample one, two, or three.
So there's two fakes and a real.
Yeah. Like two truths and a lie.
All right. Two artificially intelligent generative AI tracks, just so we're clear with the audience. And one is an actual Kanye track. Now, I know Kanye's library, so I might be able to do this, but let's see what happens. Okay. Clip number one. I'm listening. Oh, it's got some graphics too.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right?
Okay, the fidelity on his voice and the way he's doing the lyrics is not actually Kanye. So I think that that one is AI generated, but don't tell me. Go ahead, next one. I reserve the right to change my answers here, but that felt AI-ish. Next. Oh, same graphics. Good. Smart move on the producer's part.
Because of my ignorance, what was I thinking? That was some bitch shit. I lost Adidas, but I'm still Yeezy. Back in the kitchen, man, I'm a genius. Boys in the hood, just like I'm easy. Kanye.
Okay, now, this one had the lyric of he lost Adidas, so it's very modern. It does sound more like Kanye, but not exactly like Kanye. Okay, let me hear the third. But it has a modern lyric in it, so I do note that. So this that makes it fresh. Okay, here we go. Third one.
No role models, and I'm here right now. No
this is
role
Kanye.
Models to speak up. Searching through my memory. My memory, I couldn't find one. Last night, I was getting my feet rubbed by the baddest.
Okay, so the first one did not sound like Kanye at all. That's an AI. The second one sounded more like Kanye. The third one sounded exactly like Kanye. How did I do?
So the first one was Follow God by Kanye West. That is a real song.
First one was actually a Kanye song. Yes. I got it completely wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So first one was Follow God. The second one was an AI generated song by RP Nixon on Twitter.
Sounds AI. Sounds AI. When did that come out?
It's an AI song. Yeah.
2 weeks ago. Right. That did not sound very good.
You kind of caught it. I think he had the modern lyric. I was like, okay, that's true.
Yeah, Kanye hasn't recorded a song since he lost his mind. So yeah.
Right. That and the sense. Third one is an AI generated remix of Kanye West rapping No Role Models by J. Cole. So that one I'll give you.
Yeah, that's
that
very
one is
interesting.
That's a pretty popular song. So that one sounded really good.
That sounded really good. Nick, what do you think of my assessment of these?
So the reason we threw in a song that was already real with Kanye's voice masked over it was because I kind of thought that the pacing of the way that he raps when it's fake is very bad, but when it's a real song and they mask his voice over it, it sounds like real cadence. So
that's why I thought it was real. It's actually his enunciation, his cadence.
It's another rapper's Kanye. Cadence, but it's a real person's cadence, right?
Hmm.
So we kind of threw that one in there to mess you up. But yeah, the first song was real and you were like, no way. What's interesting about Kanye though, specifically, is he does so many vocal distortions on his music.
Yes.
Which is,
I was gonna bring that up.
Right. Which almost makes it sound more like AI. So he's an artist where, you know, unlike someone like Amy Winehouse or Adele, where you really want like crisp vocals, Kanye is always masking his voice. So he's a pretty easy one to trick.
Yeah. He's pretty easy to trick. But I mean, I think what we saw here today in this guess the real two fakes is it's hard. It's really hard. It passed the Turing test, basically, where you can't tell if it's a human or not. It feels all human, except for the second one. It was wasn't a great job. But I mean, I'm sure the software coming out next week make it better. Okay, let's keep going.
My favorite song, though, by AI Kanye is when they do like songs that are like traditionally like a little bit more girly. Like he had he sent it to the producers. It's like a video where he sings Bubbly. So I'm going to throw in this as my ad to society right now.
It's been
been awake for a while now.
This is crazy.
It got me feeling like
Oh, vibes. I like that a lot.
And that cracked me up. I was like, wait, that doesn't sound bad.
I got feels. I got
feels. That doesn't sound bad.
So I mean, I think it's it should open up Kanye to learning how to play acoustic guitar because...
Or we don't need, he doesn't even have to be in the picture anymore. So you know how it's like, can you separate the art from the artist? If the artist is like really controversial or bad or like whatever they did, you hate them. And then somebody makes music using their AI voice. Do we still, like, do you still hate the music of the AI? I wonder.
Yeah, Millie Vanilli situation or Michael Jackson. Yeah, a lot of it's going to be complicated. I mean, at the end of the day, if the track slaps, it slaps, right? And that's it. And I think nobody cares. Like, nobody cared about sampling. Nobody cares about auto tune, except for like maybe some online debate. But the fact is, if it slaps and people dance and makes people feel emotions when they're driving down the road, if it's a good road song, it's a good road song. It's a good dance track. It's a good dance track. That's it.
Okay. We also trained some AI models of you on about a 30 minute of high quality audio using 11labs.io, by the way. So,
okay. I didn't know this.
We can show you like a 15 second snippet.
Okay. This is Jason AI. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to This Week in Startups. We have an awesome show for you today. First up on the show, we have producer Rachel back on to read the news. There's a ton of stuff we have to cover in the AI space. It's getting crazy out there, folks. Soon you'll probably be hearing an AI version of me.
I mean, if I lose my voice one week and you need an intro, I give my permission to do AI intro. And I just want you to say it's AI J-Cal.
What impressed me about that was... your voice is very
annoying.
I don't think it got the tone right exactly.
No, it didn't.
But your inflections, it actually nailed.
Yes, it got the inflections. Yes.
Which is usually the opposite. Hey, yeah, usually the inflections are harder and the tone is easier. But it didn't really get your tone, but it did nail your inflections. But I did another one. I gave you a little AI interview, which I should pull up right now. Yeah, where it actually... this is going to, I think this is going to blow your face off with the guest that we have on here.
It better not be Mark Andreessen. Yes, not a fan.
No, it's not. It's not him. It's way better than that. All right, you ready?
Oh,
hey, everybody. Welcome back to This Week in Startups. It's your boy, Jay Cal. And today we have a very special guest for you. It's been a long time coming. And today I'm thrilled to introduce Dr. Jordan Peterson.
You know, it's really great to be here with you, Jason. Today, I want to talk about the war against young men in the Western Hemisphere.
Ooh, boy, that's a loaded topic, JP. Can I call you JP? I feel like I've known you for years.
Oh, God. You can call me whatever you like, Jason. Just don't call me woke. These young men and boys are being discriminated against from all angles right now. Someone needs to think about them. Nobody is protecting them in our society.
Okay, let's take a pause for a second before we start talking about young dudes. Jordan, I have to ask, it's been an insane last few years for you, has it not? It felt like a very select few intellectuals were familiar with your work, but just a few years ago, and now you're a total lightning rod on Twitter.
Jason, I have to tell you, the last few years have been utterly transformative for me. I was a different person in 2018 than I am today. I wept live on air. I got banned from Twitter. Then I got let back on Twitter. I don't even know what the hell is going on half the time.
You're right. I want to double click on something you just mentioned. You did weep like a child on camera a few months ago. What was that about?
I wept like a little baby that went poopy in its pants.
You did. Yeah. Why did you do that?
I just could not stop thinking about all these young men and how hard of a time they're all having. And I just turned into Jordan Poopy Pants.
Jordan Poopy Pants. That has a pretty nice ring to it, huh? I think that's going to stick, JP.
Okay, that was so good, Nick.
I mean, does Jordan Peterson's voice not sound almost perfect? Like, that's crazy.
I mean, JP's.
Come on, Nick. You know, like these men.
Jordan Poopy Pants? Did you like that?
Try. I mean, if you want to call me Jordan Poopy Pants because I care about young men, Rachel, that's okay with me. You know, somebody has to think about them. And if I have to wear Depends and do podcasts till I'm 90, I'm still going to be there for these young boys.
I don't know. Who's better at impressions? Like, this is going to have to be the audience can guess.
Got a better
AI
impression.
Or Jason.
Mine's funnier. Well, mine's funnier because you know I'm doing it, but I do think...
I don't know. The Poopy Pants ad was pretty good.
We're going to do a new segment, Nick. And I do not get to hear it ahead of time. The AI J-Cal interviews blank. So when there's a newsmaker, who doesn't like me or we can't get on the show, permission granted to do what you just did, up to like 2 or 3 minutes, and we'll just play it at the end. Another AI, unauthorized AI, Jake
Adam Howell. Newman is next.
Oh my God. Just do it.
I want to, this is one hilarious. More time. I want to play back this one clip. Listen to the inflection in your voice here. It's not so much the tone, because your tone's a little, I mean, Jordan Peterson's almost perfect. Listen to your inflection in your voice when you ask this question.
You did weep like a child on camera a few months ago. What was that about?
You hear you say that? What was that about? Isn't that like almost?
Yeah, no, I always answer when I answer, ask a question. I like to sometimes use my inflection to get everybody. I cue it up and I just put it right
on. I was like blown away.
Did weep like a child on camera a few months ago. What was that about?
I wept like a little baby that went poopy in its pants.
You did. Yeah.
I mean,
why did you do that?
I just could not stop thinking about all these young men and how hard of a time they're all having. And I don't know. I just turned into Jordan Poopy Pants.
I have to say, this is going to open up a whole new segment on the show. When we can't get a newsmaker or somebody does something insane, we just completely can make the show go Howard Stern, whatever, puppets, you know, doing inappropriate prank callers, whatever. Like, you could have me prank call people at home. That would be hilarious as a bit. Yeah, go have fun. Have so me like, brrr, hello. Hey, Mark.
Mark and Jason, prank calls. Do you have a family password?
No.
To make sure your family doesn't get like scammed with AI.
My family's
like always had one since I was little. For like, I don't know, my parents, I guess, are really afraid of kidnapping or something. But we've always had one when I was little, and now even more than ever, feel like that's an important.
So if you
thing
say the word, yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to going to Paris. Paris mm-hmm. might be your word that everybody's like, whoa, yeah. or whatever. Yeah, see you in yeah. Tokyo. Whoop.
Right. No. Exactly. So I'm just like throwing that. It out there. Yeah, my parents were ahead of the game. I give them kudos. Ours is like something we never say. And I think that's a really good idea.
Well, I mean, this is, I think, very educational. Thank you to the producers and to the folks at 11labs.io. 11labs.io were able to do all that for us. And by the way, there's a business called Splice, which has monetized people's collections of clips, right? And a lot of people use Splice. We had the CEO on episode 1265. So if you just type in This Week in Startups 1265, you can go find that. It's interesting. I wanted to make this Notion or Coda instance of like every episode summarized. And I'm glad we didn't finish that project because it seems like AI is able to do it right now. So I think we're going to be able to just take the entire corpus of MP3s, put it on Notion, and there should be the ability with software to just make these pages and make the transcripts and make the summaries. So
what I do is I go into my Descript, which I already use to transcribe like meetings and stuff, and I just throw it in like explainpaper.com or Notion right now to transcribe stuff.
What was the other one?
Explainpaper.com.
I don't know that name.
It's what kids use to explain paper. They're in college. So
right. I mean, I think kids in college should be able to use all these tools, but then they should be forced to write their papers and essays in person. I know this is like right now every college kid is like STFU. If I'm a teacher, I said, listen, you can use whatever tools you want. But, you know, when we give our tests or whatever, and you do an essay, you have to write it on paper. So we're going to check your penmanship, your ability to write without the tools, and your ability to think without the tools. Can you imagine how people would lose their minds if they were required to write but a 500-word essay on a piece of paper with a pen?
That would be kind of crazy with pen and paper. I remember, though, so this...
That's how I did it.
Like, ChatGPT was out when I was in college, and I remember the first time I ever used it was my senior year, 2020, and one of my friends got my friend Reek got the beta of it.
Rachel, you mean GPT, right? Like GPT-2?
Yeah, of GPT, excuse me. We put in like our resumes to make our cover letters like come out, and I feel like there needs to be a class on more so use cases, because I think like that was a good start, but looking back on it, like I don't even think like people are even realizing like what these tools can be used for in the educational setting. Like, yeah, obviously like, writing papers is great, but like what else could they be doing? Like that should be a whole class on its own.
Yeah, I just briefly wanted to touch on What an amazing CEO Brian Armstrong is from Coinbase. Before we wrap here, I know we're wrapping. We've got a full hour or more of show. But I saw he said, you know, everything's on the table, including possibly relocating the company. When a CEO says something like that, that means they're actually planning it and doing it. So I would be surprised if Coinbase wasn't based in another country by the end of the year. He should move it, because if he's got to go to court with the SEC, he could really prove his point by just saying, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm taking all the jobs. I'm taking everybody. I'm moving myself. I'm going to go to Portugal or whoever, go to the Zug, Switzerland, wherever, go to Singapore, whoever wants him, whoever wants a $10 billion or $20 billion company. I'm not sure what Coinbase's market cap is right now. He should literally do an RFP. Who wants a $10 billion company to be based in their country? I'm looking for a 20-year deal. Here's where, and he should put that in the face of the United States and the SEC and say, listen, you did not regulate properly in his mind, and he's got a solid argument. You didn't tell us the rules of the road. Now, the counter argument that the rules didn't change is also valid. So, and I might lean 70% towards that and 30% towards they could have done a better job. He might be 70-30 the other way or whatever. Intelligent people can disagree on this, but I do think he should write an RFP, put up a Notion page, and just say which country would like us, just like Amazon did for their headquarters too. He should do Coinbase HQ and have people bid and say, whoever gives us the best tax deal, the best relocation deal, I'm looking for 100,000 square foot office. If you have you might find a country like a Portugal and Italy, a Spain, whoever, or a South American country, Sri Lanka, who knows? Like somebody might just say, you know what? We want to get jobs there. And if he says, listen, I'll live there some number of months a year. And I think this is an extraordinary turn of events. So we're monitoring that. Coinbase CEO Armstrong saying anything is on the table, including relocating if crypto regulatory clarity is not a reality here in the United States. That's big news. Big, big news.
It is. It's crazy. So do you think over under a year, when do you think they could be out of the States?
Oh, I think he's already decided to do it.
I think it's
already decisions made. I think he's already made his decision. A lot of times when people float stuff like that, it's kind of like when a CEO floats that stuff, it means they have the plans already underway. They're executing and they're kind of, I'm going to say, I told you so. I gave you fair warning, but I bet you he has. My guess is for the past year or since this Wells notice came, I bet you other countries said, why are you dealing with this nonsense? We'd love to have you here. I'm sure Balaji is over wherever. I don't want to dox him, but whatever, free market he's in, I think it's public. But I won't say it here, but I know he's not in the United States anymore. A lot of these crypto people left to other places, Puerto Rico, Singapore, or Zug, whatever. And so, I bet you people called him and said, why don't you just move here and just stop servicing U.S. citizens and just put it in the face of, and you'll get more customers.
We might already know the place he's doing this, because Brian Armstrong kind of talked about this a lot when he was at the UK-based fintech event or a fintech event based in the UK. Mm. So maybe it's somewhere over there.
Well, and remember I said the program that data was the new oil and that Reddit and Quora and all of these places would start charging. Yep. Reddit's going to charge people for API access to train systems, which means OpenAI, which has been using it, is going to have to pay a retroactive bill and or settle or rip out all that learning. And that lawsuit, I believe, could result in an injunction that turns off ChatGPT. So just to let people know exactly what a powerful position Reddit is in, Reddit could file a lawsuit. They could ask for an injunction, essentially a restraining order against ChatGPT, OpenAI, and Bing that could result in them having to suspend access to ChatGPT because they stole that data and training data from Reddit. They stole it without permission, is I think what happened. I think, I'm just going to put a couple of qualifiers on this because we don't know the conversations there. Maybe they gave them temporary access to it, but if you trained on other people's data and they filed that lawsuit in the right jurisdiction that is friendly towards IP holders, it could result in an injunction. And you could say, I want them to have to turn it off, which then means I mean, if you raise $10 billion, if you're OpenAI, how do you not give $100 million to Reddit? I think Reddit's probably worth $100 million a year. $1 billion. I think they'll make more money, Reddit, ultimately, from their data than they will from their advertising. So good on Reddit. And I would file a lawsuit if I was Reddit immediately against anybody who trained on their data. And I would put that in the terms of services. If you scrape any of our data, you got to pay us for a licensing fee. It's going to be a lot of lawsuits dropping, is my prediction.
Well, it's going to be interesting, I guess, to see all that happen.
Mm. All right, everybody. I think that's a wrap. Rachel, you did great. Great
Thank
job.
You. Thank you so much for having Crushing me on the show.
Of course. Of course. I think you're going to be here weekly. I'm going to try to get you in the weekly rotation.
Excited to be okay. here. Of all course. Right, of right. course.
Well done. Everybody follow Rachel on the socials. What do you give me your socials? Give me a little plug here at the end.
I'm at underscore Rachel Braun. So I wasn't cool enough to drop the underscore. I don't know if I ever will be, but now I've kept it up on, I have a Prostagram because everybody has a professional Instagram that's underscore. I mean, that's a different from their regular Instagram. So I have an Instagram now. Still can't get the at Rachel Braun.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Wait, what did you call it? What was the term?
A Prostagram. Yeah. Nothing's on it yet, but I kind of want to.
Prostagram?
Yeah. Nick asked if I paid for Insta Verified. Mm. I have not. I kind of want to on my.
I would do it. Yeah,
it sounds weird because on my, I've only been faked, like had fake accounts happen a few times on Twitter, but I've had a lot of fake accounts of me on Instagram because I wasn't super public. Like I have a personal one. And so people are making like fake Instagram accounts of me and trying to sell Bitcoin for a while. So maybe I will pay for Instagram Verified.
I just want to warn people. Somebody just sent me a whole Signal or Telegram thread that they had with an impersonator of mine. That's I will crazy. Never ask you to invest in a deal over Signal. Any deal we do will come from my company, thesyndicate.com, jason@calacanis.com. If you're concerned, hit reply. We do like one deal every week on thesyndicate.com. I do not operate in crypto. You do not wire me money. Do not send me Bitcoin. I do not have wallets in any of those things. If you are contacted by me, it would be through one of the people who work at our company. You can DM me, open DMs on all the platforms, and to check where you can ever, if you ever have anybody doing this kind of stuff, just email jason@calacanis.com. I'll get right back to you and just send me the screenshots and of course report it. I will never ask you to do a deal over SMS, and I'll never ask you to do it to an anonymous wallet. I'll never ask you for your bank account information. This is crazy. People are so dumb, but I guess like they only need to get one person who's excited. And then I saw the text stream and the person told me, he's like, I feel stupid, but I was just excited to talk to you because I'm a fan. Aww. And I was like, aw, thank you for letting me know. And by the way, if you do have a Bitcoin laying around, you know, could use a Bitcoin if you want to go to the Knicks game with me. All right, everybody, we'll see you next time.